Hello, Internet!
People have been waiting for that.
I started out low energy, and I'm like, wait, got to get more energy. So there, you got a crescendo.
It's Weird's catchphrase.
It's not just my catchphrase.
One of them.
Unfortunately, the Game Theorist YouTube channel always starts off with Hello, Internet, and I do get a little perturbed. Because somehow I think I can own such a simple catchphrase.
You could make it yours.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Walker did. I mean, it was Alfred Nobel that invented dynamite, but...
Yeah, that's right.
Old Johnny owns dynamite!
J.J. Walker. Dynamite.
Isn't he a conservative?
I don't know.
Could be.
No.
I never watched the show anyway.
Oh, no, I have to
look
it up. I
don't even know what show he was on.
What was it, Good Times?
Yeah, was he the... Wait, was he also the cab driver in Total Recall?
Oh,
is that just a guy like? Because he did a ton of weird movie cameo stuff.
Now good times.
Know. Yeah, I said good times. That's what I said.
Yeah. No, he is a conservative, and I think a lot of people were surprised about that.
You know, we could actually that could actually work as an interesting segue because. Black conservatives experience a whole lot of pushback.
Oh, my gosh. You're not kidding.
And, you know, I mean, just they get called Uncle Toms and all that.
I think black conservatives are, like, one of the most – they're, like, the bravest people in politics right now.
No. The bravest people in politics are gay conservatives.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Because the whole – you know, the other blacks will call – the liberal blacks will call black conservatives and white racists will call black conservatives Uncle Toms. It seems like everybody except the libertarians hate the gay conservatives. And even then, the libertarians don't really much care because libertarians aren't conservatives.
I don't like the gay conservatives, but that's because they're conservatives, not because they're gay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But we're friendly to the gay conservatives. Liberals hate gay conservatives because they are turncoats and they are conservatives. Conservatives hate gay conservatives because they're evil, sinful homos.
Everyone hates heretics.
And libertarians are at least like, no, do whatever you want until they suddenly start talking about their views, and then it's one of those, get the hell out of here, you jackbooted fascist. I don't care what you do in your bedroom.
So,
jackbooted fascists.
Where are we? I don't know.
In my bedroom.
Okay.
No, not really, but I guess I could sleep down here.
It's
happened before, but that was on that was on Vicious Circle.
Oh, geez.
I have a shirt update.
Okay. Weird, did you buy your shirt yet?
Yeah. Two of them.
Are you lying?
Rita, have I ever lied to you?
Not specifically.
Well,
have I even vaguely lied to you, Rita? I am actually all but, like, sledgehammer honest to you.
I know.
It is
I'm
the best.
Teasing you.
Within a day of announcing the shirts, we'd met our goal of 30 shirts.
Right. You know what I want to just interject here? Alan, you were so – when we were talking about doing this whole shirt thing through Teespring, you were so worried about our shirt goal.
I was.
You were so worried that you gave it the longest amount of campaign time,
yes.
Which is like 3 weeks or
yes,
something?
It was like 3 weeks and a few days.
And you were like, well, I know that we're not going to make 30 shirts. So I just accept that I'm going to have to buy the rest of the shirts to make up 30.
Yes.
And how many shirts have people bought now?
As of today, 45.
45, Alan.
Yes. My favorite caliber.
And 2 weeks left for you to get your shirt. Now, the way the Teespring works, I think we mentioned this last time, but they... Basically, you set a goal and you set a time, and if you don't meet the goal, nobody gets a shirt and you don't get charged. If you meet the goal, you get charged, and at the end of the time, they ship all the shirts. They make the shirts and ship them. So there's two more weeks left. If you've ordered one, thank you very much. We don't make a penny off of it, but thanks anyway. Yeah. And
enjoy your shirt.
Yeah. We wanted to make them cheap, so we didn't take any money. Anyway, there's two more weeks left. If you still want one, you can get one. After the 2 weeks is over, you will never, ever, ever be able to buy this shirt again. It is over. It is done. There will be no more. We may make another Score Report shirt again in the future, but it won't be this one. It's not right. It's not like Zazzle or something like that where you can order it anytime you want and all that kind of stuff and, you know, pay like $25 for it. These are $11 each plus shipping, which is, I don't know, $3-4, something like that.
I feel like I'm on the PBS broadcasting.
What
like.
A bargain. Yeah, except we're not begging for money and we're not.
No, we're not.
We're not making
any money.
Oh, no. Listen to this, guys. I am actually going to make a very personal announcement right now.
Uh-oh.
And say, Vector, who is right now in the future driving home from work because he doesn't want his daughter learning on our way to daycare to learn horrible language. Is dude, don't buy a shirt because that second one's for you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
he's a loyal listener.
Good,
and he's a good guy. And we're gonna have baby Thunderdome.
We actually.
I'm not kidding. Just keep posted.
Two babies go in, one baby comes out.
There'll probably be a post about it on my blog, probably by Monday.
Well, Brita and I were talking earlier today about what to do with the shirts, and we kind of kicked around a couple of ideas. One was that we would, like, all sign a shirt, and then we'd, like, give it away or something.
Or raffle it off.
Raffle it off or whatever.
Something.
Yeah, we need to make some money. I want some blow. I've never even seen cocaine. I need to go buy some so I can actually just look at it. I don't even know if I don't think I want to suck it up my nose because that seems gross.
There is never going to be any blog money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There's not. You were misinformed.
Wait a second. I do believe that the former Squirrel Report host, JG, is now no longer a Squirrel Report host because he's too fucking rich.
This
totally
is true.
Different.
Yeah, they didn't hire him because he was on this show. In fact, he probably didn't even tell them.
But it is such a good show. But by the way, all right, I'm gonna make a preemptive thing. But this is even before the music. But call in topic. We are, I believe, the only live call in podcast / internet radio show like in existence. How can we better market this?
I think we're the only regularly scheduled one that happens on a weekly basis. I know a few of them that have done it kind of like a special thing every now and then, but we're the only one I know of that does it all the time, week in and week out.
No, I agree. There is a bunch that do where you can call in live to the show and talk to the hosts. But yeah, it's really, as I said, we are our right wing talk radio call in.
Right.
They are NPR call in.
Right. Exactly.
Ever so often they'll take a call from the people.
Right. This is a call in show. I mean, we sometimes don't get that many callers, but it is intended to be a call in show. Whereas
that's also why we want to get more listeners because. Yeah, no, I get it.
We actually have a lot of listeners, but they download it. I mean, we're up to about, like we said before, we're up to about 4,000 downloads a month, which averages out to about 1,000 people listening per episode. And
I think that's huge.
But we only get like maybe 15 or 20 listening to it live.
Wait, how many per episode?
Right. About 1,000.
Oh shit! I gotta tell my parents. I gave them the wrong number.
Oh.
What'd you tell them?
I told them 250.
Oh.
Oh no.
No, it's 1,000. More than that.
And and not even the majority of that is in China.
No, in fact, the China listenership has really declined. I don't know what we've done to offend them. But
I think we've born China.
It could be the China listenership is minuscule now. It's basically trickled down to nothing. So.
Awesome.
Because they realized they couldn't sell us fake dick pills.
We may have been added to the filter list on the Great China Firewall. I don't know.
I don't blame them.
We'll see. But anyway, back to the shirt. One of the things we talked about in addition to the signing of the one and raffling it was the idea. And I actually kind of like this idea. Is we can you know the traveling gnome thing where they take pictures, they send the gnome to different places and they take pictures of the gnome. I was like thinking
Flat Stanley.
Right. We could take like a shirt and we could mail it to different. You just mail it from person to person to person, and somebody take a picture of the shirt where, like, I don't know about wearing it, but you know, like holding up.
No. Require them to wear it and wash it.
No, well, but we want them to sign it too.
You can still wash it,
like with indelible, like with a Sharpie, right?
Use a goddamn laundry marker. That's right. Why they're called laundry markers.
Well, there you go. Sign it with a laundry marker.
If you don't have like 100 laundry markers in your house, you're really missing out because they're fucking useful.
Right, and then take a picture and then you know send it on to the next person. So.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Do you guys have laundry markers?
I do.
No.
Why don't you have laundry markers?
I got a Sharpie. That's the same thing. It's an indelible ink.
Well, I use Sharpie laundry. I mean, it's laundry marker is a generic term. Sharpie is a brand name.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I believe I'll. Here, let me go. I've got laundry markers like in every room. There's one right here. Let's see. Yeah, this is a Sharpie.
Yeah.
Sharpie fine point permanent marker.
Yeah.
Every color Sharpie you can imagine.
Yes.
So
of course you do, because you're like an art student.
I'm a girl.
Hey,
art student.
I've got colored Sharpies too. What is that? I'm not a girl.
Yeah.
But I like girls.
But yeah, no, the big flat black Sharpie indelible ink marker.
Racist.
Is. Well, no, there's
a rule 34 for those, you know.
Maybe my family's weird. My parents' house is just like my house. There is an indelible Sharpie in like every goddamn room.
Why do you feel like you'll have an emergency where you have to write something in permanent ink?
It's just good to have a nice big fat black marker, and the fact that it's permanent makes it even better. It's just it suits more applications. And actually, I'll say there's actually two or three of them in my mouse colony at work. So
well, there you go.
And they didn't bring them in because I don't pay for shit at work. So yeah, no. So it's everywhere. I use it to make the black spot.
The black spot.
Yeah, what the black spot. The black spot means I'm not killing you yet, but I'm pretty sure you're not going to be useful to me. So. When I come across that mouse again, I look at it and then reevaluate why I put the black spot there in the first place. Usually it's old breeding mice that I'm pretty sure aren't going to breed anymore or are going to breed awfully. And so I'm going to
get... So if you come at me with a Sharpie marker...
Only on your cage card, Brita. So just don't have a cage card.
Okay.
Do not have a cage card.
Hmm. Yeah. I'll work on it.
Yeah, no, the black spot means you are marked for death.
Oh, dear.
Well, it usually does, right?
I got it from Muppet Treasure Island.
You got the black spot.
It's very scientific.
Yeah.
That was a little loud.
Oh.
It is Thursday, May 8th, 2014, episode 103. And there was much
episode 103, and for those of you who are concerned that Brita was going to quit, it's not true.
I'm still here.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so how many of you guys are watching the NFL draft?
What?
Nobody?
I just learned today that the NFL draft is like a thing. People have parties.
Really? Why?
That was the funny thing my dad said. Now, wait a second. Now... Allen's in Houston and Brita's near Cleveland and you're near Boston. So you guys all have a major football team. So you can talk about the NFL draft on your show.
And I'm what? Like,
I am totally leading with that shit, Dad, because there's nothing. If you want two people that know fucking nothing about the NFL draft, it's going to be Brita and Allen.
Boy, oh my God.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Even though Allen's been to every football stadium in the country.
I have. Every pro stadium in the country.
Just tonight, I found out that the draft was like a thing. People get excited about it, and they have parties, and they wager on it, and it's a thing.
I didn't know about that stuff. I had no idea. It was just this afternoon that I learned that the NFL draft was tonight.
People are nuts.
Yeah, it was so funny because we got talking about it, and then I said goodnight to my folks who are spending the night. They're like good commies are going to the AARP convention in Boston.
Aww.
And commies, but I love them, but they're goddamn commies. So I said, all right, goodnight, guys. I gotta go to the radio show. And Dad said, oh yeah, the NFL draft is on. Immediately turned on his iPad to watch the NFL draft.
Oh my god!
Actually, that's not true. Last time I saw him, he was actually watching on I think Vimeo. He was watching Never Say Never Again, which is a fantastic James Bond film.
I would like to express right here, right now, while I have the chance, how much I hate Vimeo.
Yeah. I hate Vimeo.
That's all. That's the only statement I need to make tonight.
I don't give a shit.
I hate Vimeo.
I've got Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu. I really don't feel the need to extend any further.
Vimeo sucks.
Yep. Okay, cool. But yeah, my dad was watching Never Say Never Again, which was the first Bond film I ever saw in the theater. And if you know that I was born in 1979, you know that I was probably too young to be watching a Bond film in the theater.
Who was Bond at that time?
It was Sean Connery. It was Sean Connery's last Bond. And this was the remake of Thunderball that was a non-Eon production one because Ian Fleming got sued by his co-author because he totally didn't factor the guy in when he sold the rights to the book, and so there was suddenly the Thunderball and only Thunderball was suddenly up for grabs, so long as it was using nothing that had previously done in the other Bond films, sort of situation. And despite all of that, it's a really goddamn good Bond. And they got Sean Connery to essentially come out of Bond retirement for it, and he is considerably older, and they wrote him as considerably older, and it's a very refreshing Bond film.
I'm sure I've seen it. I've seen, like, all of them.
I have a question.
Also, hands down, the best Ernst Stravo Blofeld, because it is played by Max von Sydow, and he has a beard.
Oh!
Blofeld with a beard. Yeah. Awesome.
Hey, weird.
And it's Sydow.
When it gets warm there, will your heater stop running all the time?
Oh, that's my dryer.
Oh.
It's always something.
I'm doing laundry. Did I mention the fact that I have a baby?
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. That's the I took a fresh, clean pair of jeans out of a laundry basket of all places and put them on and then found myself working in the garden and went, fuck! I got my clean pair of jeans that I was going to wear to work tomorrow. Oops. Dirty. So now I threw them again.
Yep.
Oh my god, Jason! Comparing Never Say Never Again to Zardoz? Fuck off and die.
Well, it did have Sean Connery in it.
Yes, but he's not wearing a fucking banana hammock. He is at one point wearing scuba gear and just a pair of swim trunks. But Sean Connery at like 55 or however old he was at that was still fucking tore up.
Should you wish to call in on our topic?
About something, please.
What was our call-in topic again?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Marketing the score report.
Marketing the score report. We want more listeners. We want more people to listen.
We want more people to call in.
I hate saying this because it makes me sound like I'm like bragging or something, but I listen to a lot of podcasts and we're one of the best sounding ones, I think, of all the ones that aren't like professional.
Except for my watching machine on spin cycle.
Yeah. Well.
Are you a little biased though? Could that be working into it?
What?
Me? Not Alan. Alan is ridiculously humble. For Alan to be saying this, he means it. I don't necessarily agree with him, but he means it.
I don't even listen to our own podcast, so I have no clue.
Well, I listen to a lot. Let me put it this way. There's a lot of crappy podcasts out there.
Okay.
I would agree
by crappy, I don't mean the people doing it or the content. I just mean the audio quality. There's a lot of ones where it's so bad it's hard to listen to because you can't understand what the hell they're saying.
And it gets even worse since I listen to a lot of podcasts on the train. You got to have good audio.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just delete your podcast. Too long, didn't read.
So anyway, that call-in number, should you wish to talk to us about that or any other subject, 214.
And since we started the music, I can continue my segue.
530-0036.
Because one of our discussions was, okay, first up, you guys keep talking about blogging being dead. So what the fuck are you wasting your time reading my blog?
You sent me the link.
I like your blog.
No, Brita sent the link.
I did. I sent
a few other links for a few other related posts.
I have your blog on my RSS feed, and so if I'm not doing a, mark all as read, then I actually read it.
Okay. But yeah,
I don't comment on it though, because you got that stupid CAPTCHA crap on there.
Gone. I took it off today.
Okay.
I took it off last night, and now I have an incidental cut. So unless a Kismet thinks that you're a spammer, and you've got to really spam, because I logged out of my blog and wrote a whole bunch of horrible things about selling dick pills and knocked off Fendi bags and Prada shoes. And it just accepted all my comments.
Nice.
But whatever it is, the bots are all going straight to the trash. So
good.
And it's working really well.
Yeah, Akismet's what I use on all my blogs.
Right now, my issue was I turned off the CAPTCHA code because I got enough complaints about it that I finally just said, you know what, I'm just going to turn it off and see what happens. And then my spam trap just suddenly had a gazillion posts in it. So I started telling people, look, you guys, I've got a very handful of regular commenters. If you guys get stuck, just send me an email and I'll try to dig it out of the spam trap, but I'm not going to leaf through this to make sure it's all not spam. And somebody chimed in and pointed out this incident, or I don't even know what it's called. I can look it up in my blog, but I got to go there anyway for this show. But it is called conditional CAPTCHA plugin.
Cool.
And all it does is if a Kismet flags you, it will take you to a secondary screen with a CAPTCHA code that's not fucking horrible. The ones that I looked at, I couldn't actually get legitimate ones, but it'll send you test ones so you can sample it. And essentially, it'll give you like five perfectly clean letters, but they're images rather than text. So so it's harder for the bots to detect it. But it'll say, give us the third and fifth, character in this sequence. So you type in the two letters, and then it accepts your post.
Oh, my Lord.
We have a caller.
Oh, good.
It's area code 661. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's John in the town.
Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing fine.
Awesome. I think one of your topics for tonight was Sarah Palin.
No.
At the NRA convention, she mentioned baptizing terrorists and all that jazz. I think she should stop being on our side. I'm tired. Stuff like that is not good for the gun culture, especially coming from her.
Well, I mean, she's not on my side anymore because I used to be a Republican, but I have since resigned from the Republican Party. So she's not on my side anymore.
Yeah, right. I'm talking about just gun rights in general.
I don't remember posting anything about Sarah Palin.
There's something on your guys' what's it? I could have sworn I saw something about her on there. Maybe it was just Anna convention in general.
Is this about the whole waterboarding terrorist thing?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that politics has become so diversive now that it's kind of like everybody's going to their separate corners. And
the only thing that would do is just piss off. I
totally agree. That it alienates a lot of people who are kind of in the middle. And pandering to your base is one thing, but making statements like both sides of the aisle.
It is, but
yeah. I don't think it's helpful at all.
Nope. Well, I don't know. I feel like I smoked crack. I have no idea where I saw Sarah Palin on anybody's website. Maybe I'm just making shit up today.
Well, that's okay. It was a good point.
Oh, well.
No, it is a very good point, and I don't really know what to say and do about it because, I mean, now we've got an interesting statement. The NRA is a nonpartisan organization. Now, the hard part is that gun control is 110% a partisan organization. It used to not be, but you know, back when the assault weapons ban was passed, there were plenty of Republicans that were all for banning guns and all of that stuff, and you know, that's why the Brady campaign hired Paul Helmke to be their leader, because they wanted someone with an R next to their name. Just to show that it wasn't all a bunch of wacky liberals.
I think there still are Republicans that are in favor of gun control. They're just afraid to say anything about
it. Like running for New Hampshire Senate Scott Brown. Don't vote for him.
There are
plenty of them, but as a general rule now, it's been that's not the hill they're going to die on. You really don't need to worry about them, because they're not going to even if Mitt Romney became president and he's an anti-gun Republican, he would not start as president of the United States. He would not be drafting assault weapons ban bills and all that stuff. He might sign one if the House and Senate, sent one up to his desk, sort of idea. Yeah, but he's not going to spearhead it, because these days that's just not how the political landscape's laid out.
Well, they already got one albatross around their neck. They don't need another one.
Yeah. So, but what I was getting to is the fact that, I mean, the gun control issue has really become crazy partisan in the recent years. And so, unfortunately, the NRA, when NRA invites speakers, they invite them because they are pro-gun. And say what you will about Sarah Palin, she's very good on guns. And so if she wanted to speak at the NRA convention, it would be stupid for the NRA not to send her in, because she is exactly an ideal person for the NRA on the sole issue of guns. The downside is that they can't control what Sarah Palin's going to say while she's giving her speech. They may have advised her on things to say, but is Sarah Palin going to fucking listen to them?
So she's kind of like the female version of Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
But there's Colin Noir. There's a whole new team that are retired. They don't need Sarah Palin anymore. It's not like there's no women to speak on this issue. It's not like there's no good men to speak on this issue. It's just an odd
person to invite. They could stop inviting Sarah Palin now.
Yeah, I agree.
I would actually like to say that I doubt that they invited Sarah Palin. I bet Sarah Palin said, "I would like to speak," and again, they would be remiss to say, no, thanks, we don't need you, because say what you will about Sarah Palin, she does have a large amount of popularity and does bring a lot to the table. And so if she had mentioned that the NRA had snubbed them, that would be a really awful firestorm. It's really unfortunately from the NRA standpoint, I've got to say, I can't imagine this as a damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I don't think the NRA is really inviting people to speak, because the NRA doesn't need to. They're not like the Score Report inviting people to call in.
Yeah.
Begging people to call in.
Right.
I'll see you guys later.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, John.
Bye. Yeah, that was a good point. I don't know. I don't think we said anything about Sarah Palin, but still. It ties into that whole, please don't be on my side and say that kind of stuff.
Well, you'll always have that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to get away with it. Get away from it. Just look at all. We're trying to segue into my.
The
Media Matters post. I got to look to see what it's titled, because it's not.
It's
in my
called
blog.
Media Matters, Lies and Sexism.
Yeah, well, that's my blog post, but it's called Meet the Glocker Moms, to tie into the whole Sarah Palin thing. Down towards the bottom of the article, they interview Larry Pratt, and Larry Pratt is technically speaking very pro gun. Not even technically speaking, he's extremely pro gun. As far as the gun issues go, I really don't disagree with Larry Pratt. As far as every other fucking issue goes on the planet, I do not like Larry Pratt. and I have no fan of him. I have no fan of Goa. When I hear people talking about, oh, you know, I want to go join Goa, I want to screech them, no, do something useful. But that's my own personal opinion. But I don't like Goa. But so, I mean, they're always going to find some dipshit that's going to say something fucking horrible and use it to tie in, you know, use it to tie into the whole, you know, oh, all gun owners think this.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with joining a group, because when you join a group, you're stuck with everybody in the group. You know,
you are, but also the group has some control. I mean,
you hope. Look, although, you know, like the group NRA is stuck with, what's his face? Ted, what's his name? Nugent.
The Nuge.
You mean they're stuck with Wayne LaPierre? Damn it.
And you know what? You're stuck with everybody in your group. And of course, your opposition would immediately look for kind of like the low-hanging fruit in your group.
Of course.
Like Ted Nugent or Sarah Palin saying something about waterboarding terrorists. And, you know, it's a natural thing. So you have to really weigh, do you want to join the group? Is it worth joining the group to put up with that? Do you want to be aligned with that?
I would say yes.
Okay.
And since we're all upstanding members of said group,
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not a member of the NRA. I will not be a member of the NRA ever again.
Cool. I didn't hear about that.
Well, it's been like years now.
Oh, yeah. You always get in on your press credentials.
Yeah, I always get in on my press credentials. I haven't been a member of the NRA for years. And I have reasons for that. But, you know, we won't go into that now. But it's like, you know, do you want to be part of the group? It's kind of like, are you willing to put up with that sort of thing?
I am. Brita is not. Alan is somewhere in the middle.
Alan is a life member.
I'm a life member, too.
I'm a life member because it was really cheap. And I do think the NRA does a lot of good. I just think that they do a lot of not so great too, unfortunately.
I mean, that is what happens. I mean, the thing I like about the NRA is it's very organic. I mean, you know, a few years ago everyone was talking about, oh, the NRA totally ignores the NFA, and now they're absolutely diving headlong into the whole suppressor thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They're not diving onto the other NFA stuff, which I'm 100% fine with, because I think we absolutely need to utilize the slippery slope on that. But
yep. Suppressors and SBRs first.
And again, we're stuck with Ted Nugent because the bastard keeps getting reelected. I don't vote for him, but I don't blame other people for voting for him. And it's the same reason why Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California.
Yep.
I mean, it's one of those, you have someone that's a famous rock and roll star, and also, let's face it, for all the, you know, for as cringeworthy, as obnoxious his sound bites are, there's lots of people that make cringeworthy, obnoxious sound bites.
Sure.
And so when they hear somebody else doing that, they like that. It excites them, it's good, and they vote for him. So I mean, you know, I'll say, you know, Sarah Palin's statements were off the cuff and a little weird, and, you know, that's kind of political posturing sort of business of why she was invited to speak and why she was let to say that and blah, 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 blah. But Ted Nugent is a board of directors of the NRA because the members of the NRA have spoken.
Yeah, they just elected him.
And you can decide, as, you know, like Brita, and I'm not going to get into your personal reasons or all of that, but if that really bothers you, you can leave, you know, or in my case, I can not vote for him.
I'm mostly a member of the NRA, so I can criticize them mercilessly and not be said, oh, well, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm a member. I know. It's kind of one of those, you know, we can diss ourselves, but you can't. I don't know. Anyway, that's mostly why. That and, you know, the really good deals on wine, you know.
I am also a life member of the Second Amendment Foundation because
I am too.
Alan Gottlieb is fucking adorable.
I think I'm a life member of almost every major gun group.
I have a photograph of me squishing him.
He is a cute man.
And he doesn't seem to dislike it in the picture. Might be a good actor.
You know, as much public grip and grins that he's done, I think he probably just goes into robot mode and doesn't even phase him.
Yeah, but he got a legitimate hug from Weird Beard.
You know, that's not as great as you seem to think.
I think it is.
Yeah, Rita's gotten one too. So has Alan. Alan didn't like it.
Alan will always deny it.
Alan hates Weird Beard Snuckles. And he gets it every time I see him. Because Alan's cute and cuddly too. But yeah, so into that Glocker mom business. Yeah. I think it actually ties very well. That was one of my first thoughts is, what, this article is so obnoxiously hostile to women who are pro-gun. I mean, just brutally hostile. And the first thing that came to my mind, I mean, just the first thought I had was, why is it so hostile? And I'm like, I wonder if liberals and blacks, I wonder if these people think that they own women.
They probably do.
I wonder if they think, what on earth is my voter bloc speaking for something that I disagree with?
Uh-huh.
You know, just the same way as if you've got, you know, a black that, like Kalyan Noir, or however he pronounces his name. He adds a weird spelling to it. But nice, super nice guy, too. I didn't give him snuggles. But I should have. He's cute. But the, he being a pro gun black guy, or black, you know, blacks that are conservative and all of that, they just get such brutal attack. And I think it's just because it's one of those, no, we own you. If you're black, you're liberal Democrat. And there's just, you know, if you're not doing that, then you need to straighten up and fly right. There needs to be an intervention.
Well, you're being right. Evil.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're insane.
Yes.
Well, when you start breaking down human beings into voting blocks, I think, I don't know. Here's the thing. I read in your blog post, Weird, that there's this whole mom thing going on in the anti-gun thing, right?
Yep.
They've got the moms. What is it called?
The Moms Demand Action.
Which Demand Action.
Sounds something like it ought to be something entirely different.
Okay.
Oh, God, Alan.
Anyway, so you have the Moms Demand Action, and it was almost like kind of like in a knee-jerk reaction, the NRA seems to have developed their own mom group. Right?
I would definitely agree with that to some extent. I mean, it's been, I don't quite see it that way, but certainly the amount of branding that happened. I mean, I wasn't at this year's NRA convention, nor were either of you guys.
No.
But it definitely sounds like there is way more of the mom branding business going on than ever before.
Right.
But I don't quite see it that way, because I kind of see the women shooter business as kind of a long time coming. And I mean, I closed my post with a quote from the adorable Alan Gottlieb, pointing out the fact that, yeah, no, he didn't really give a shit about all of this, because, you know, the Second Amendment Foundation and his other groups have been publishing publications for women for decades now.
Yeah.
And, and it's the same thing. I mean, it's one of those, like, I mean, we were all together at Houston, and at Houston there was a million pink guns. Mm-hmm. At my first NRA convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, I've got a picture of Jay holding a lacy pink camo camisole.
Yes,
sort of situation. I mean, the gun industry's been marketing to women for a long time, and
right.
And I definitely think with this latest gun rush, I think women have been disproportionately part of it. I think the latest gun rush that happened after Sandy Hook was. I mean, it's people talk about, oh, you know, the anti-gun people talk about when they see all the numbers about how many NICS checks are going on and about the ammo shortages and about the fact that stores had empty gun shelves and stuff like that. And they've been trying to spin it. And one of the things they're saying is, oh, no, this is, you know, people like me who have dozens of guns and are buying a couple dozen more just because. Mm-hmm. But in fact, I haven't bought shit. I bought a couple of guns since Sandy Hook, and you know, all of them were because Jay was moving out of Massachusetts and was selling them at a good price.
I think I bought one.
Yeah, I mean it's you know they're you know I haven't been buying much guns and I have not been buying much ammo. As a matter of fact, my last big ammo purchase was after Sandy Hook. I was going through one of my favorite ammo dealers that I can't name because I live in Massachusetts and they ship to me. They might get shut down for that. I saw a couple of smoking good deals and I just said, fuck, I'm going to buy a couple of these. And, you know, but I was just doing research for my blog. And it really wasn't, oh man, I need to buy some more ammo. It was just when I went through and went, oh, there's a couple of good deals and ammo's getting kind of scarce. So, you know, now might be a good time to buy this stuff. But I hadn't really planned to do any stock up. No, the people that are doing it are all new gun owners. These are all people like me, you know, 10 years ago when I bought my first gun. Is I bought a gun and I bought a ton of ammo. And then a month later, I bought another gun. And the month later, I bought another gun. I mean, I kept buying more guns because I didn't have any. So there was holes in my collection. I needed shit.
Right.
And I kept buying more ammo because also I had a new gun. So I was shooting like, you know, a couple of times a week and things like that. So I was going, you know, I was going nuts. And I don't do that anymore because I don't really need to. And now that ammo is expensive, I don't really want to. And I really think that the former fringe Second Amendment groups, like, you know, minorities and women, I think were a disproportionately large portion of these purchases. I don't necessarily see the NRA doing it as a knee-jerk reaction or as a counter-reaction. I mean, I definitely think there's a part of that, of the Moms Demand Action was holding a protest, so they wanted to get kind of a little counter-group going on mm-hmm. within their convention. And it's easy to print up buttons that say, I'm a gun-owning mom.
Right.
But at the same time, I really think that the females have been a huge growing demographic within the shooting community. I mean, it just, there's more and more women at the gun range, more and more women at, you know, at concealed carry classes and,
sure.
And
sure.
stuff like that. I mean, it was one of those, it was like 2 years ago. I mean, it was well before Sandy Hook. I got talking to the instructor at my club right after a class had gotten out because I was sitting in the clubhouse because they wouldn't let me shoot at the range because the range that I wanted to shoot at was right abutting the classroom. And they didn't want somebody blasting away while they were trying to teach people about gun safety. And so I just sat down and waited for the class to break. And when the class broke, I, you know, saw the instructor and started talking to him. And I just said, I noted that there was a ton of women coming out. And I said, man, there's a lot of women there. I said, is that common? You know, you're teaching this class every week. And he said the classes are all 60-40 men and women. Sometimes it's 60% men and 40% women. Sometimes it's 60% women and 40% men.
Huh.
But it's not like it was when I first, you know, started taking my classes where there was one or two women and almost all of them were attached to a man there. And maybe ever so often there'd be one, you know, there'd be one woman who was just there on her own. But it was, you know, men there on their own and men who had taken their wives and girlfriends with them to take this class. And now it's not that case anymore. Now that's it's just as many women as men. And sometimes there's more men, sometimes there's more women. It's just demographics.
Do you feel at this point, like, it's 2014, do you ever have the sense of, why are we even talking about this?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it seems so ridiculous to me. I mean, okay, granted, the whole chicks with guns thing came out, God, what, 2008, 2007? It was kind of like a huge thing. Oh, my gosh, you know, women shooting and women going to the range and women learning how to shoot and carry guns. But it's 2014 now, and it seems like it's bizarre to me when I see it in the news, like, ooh, women are at the range and women are learning how to shoot. It seems really archaic to me.
Well, I still think we've got a little bit to go because
sure.
I think the big reason why we're talking about it is that, you know, it's 2014 and still women being a growing demographic is still a new thing. So we've got a little bit further to go on it before it's no big deal, you know.
Well,
it's a big deal that we have a black president, just because he's the first black president, and I mean that just raw, you know, physical statements of it. I'm not right. making a statement about
yay,
the fact that our president.
Yay, melanin.
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic that we have a black president. It, sure. it is a fucking shame that it took this long.
Shame that it's this one.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It is a shame that it's a president who was elected solely on his skin color.
Yeah. Well, the first, what is it? Affirmative action president.
Oh, by the way, to note in comments. Yes, Jay, you are half black. But that is a big deal, and I think we just illustrated that beautifully in just our little banter about, you know, they're having a black president, and, you know, but at the same time, you know, having a black doctor, not even a fucking big deal.
Sure.
You know, sort of situation. As a
and
matter,
having a woman doctor, not a big.
Oh, having a woman a doctor. Deal. Oh yeah, no. The weird thing. I mean, it's now it's weird is that. My wife's no longer her doctor. She's moved to a different hospital. But leading up to my wife's surgery, she got a doctor that had that. You know, we got the referral to this doctor, and it was a woman's first name. You know, an anglicized woman's first name, and an Asian surname. And said, "Oh, cool." And I was surprised and, frankly, a little bit disappointed. This doctor was fantastic. I was totally wrong on all that. But I was surprised and a bit disappointed when it was a white woman.
Oh?
You know, who showed up. Was obviously, maybe she's got an Asian husband. I don't know the story. But white woman. And I'm like, ah, shit, I was hoping for an Asian doctor. Because Asian doctors are better. I am racist like that.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, but what I'm getting at is that, you know, that having, you know, I mean, I'll be racist enough to go, oh, yeah, no, Asian doctors are better. And, you know, I'm sure there's somebody somewhere nodding their head at that, you know, that silly statement. And it is a silly statement. No, if you're white, you can still be a good doctor, I guess. But you know, it's not a big deal because it's just so prevalent that every race, color, creed, gender, you know, gender identity, you know, sexual orientation are doctors. No fucking big deal. And it's going to take a little bit of, but for a while it was a big deal if you had a woman doctor.
Right.
And, you know, still to this day, the term male nurse exists. Because still, the vast majority of nurses are female, and you need to have a point where so many goddamn nurses are male that someone's going to go, oh, a male nurse, you know,
right.
this nurse is male,
right? And so, you know, in the same vein, like, you know, at what point will women shooters not be a thing?
My guess at the rate that it's going, soon.
Soon. Well, I wanted to say, with the anti-gun profiting on the mom group, and now the NRA kind of glomming on to the mom group. Advertising companies have known for at two decades, maybe, that the mom group moms are the people who spend family money. Moms decide where the family money goes. And in the same vein, moms decide kind of a culture. You know, you don't see paper towel commercials advertised to men. You don't see, you know, Pam cooking spray advertised to men.
And I'm the one that buys the shit.
Well, I know, but you are unique. Weird.
I sure am. They don't call me weird for nothing.
But I'm just saying that as a block, moms are a huge economic force. And in the same way, I think that the gun rights groups and anti-gun, for that matter, they have kind of singled out this group that already exists. Moms exist, and they are a group. And so why not kind of appeal to this already existing group, right?
Well, on the gun issue, especially with, you know, gun culture 2.0, where we're no longer about shooting ducks and deer, is, you know, if you want to go shoot ducks and deer, that's fine, but I don't own a gun because of ducks and deer. I may have a deer gun, but I have a deer gun that's right beside my AR for shooting intruders, or my Glock for shooting intruders, or my carry gun, or all of that. We own guns for self-defense in America now. It's no longer like it was with my parents' generation, where, you know, oh, you have a gun. Oh, what do you hunt? You know, was the standard thing. Or, you know, John Kerry's, you know, foolish attempt to appeal to the NRA, where he went, you know, wading through a swamp to shoot some geese, you know, sort of idea. You know, that used to be a legitimate thing. It has since moved. And on top of that, I mean, Kathy Jackson points out that women aren't like men in that, you know, if you'd say to a man, what if somebody is coming to kill you and you have a gun? A man will immediately put two and two together and say, I'll kill that son of a bitch before he kills me, because my life is fucking worth it. For whatever reason, whether it be cultural or genetic, I'm going to assume cultural. You know, women don't have that selflessness. You'll have women who will say, oh, no, I could never kill another human being.
I'm a man. Oh, my God. I'm a man.
What if they were going to...
No,
they were
you aren't.
And you could even say to them, what if they were going to rape you? What if they were going to kill you? And they go, jeez, I still don't know if I could kill someone.
What the fuck?
But if you turn around, and Kathy Jackson noted this in her defensive pistol classes, what if they are going to kill or rape or kidnap your child? Then suddenly the mama bear business comes out.
Well,
I will kill that son of a bitch before they're able to take my child.
And, you know what that's called? It's called Darwin.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but women who cannot defend themselves, Darwin.
And unfortunately, we have a culture that is so safe. As much as we talk about self-defense,
I understand.
We have a culture so safe that we can have an entire subset of grass eaters.
Yep.
That may even say, "Oh, I'll kill someone to save my own life." With what?
You can't
bench press a broom handle. You know, you can't bench press a broom handle. You know, you don't know how to use that, you know, expensive cooking knife in your $500,000 kitchen. And see, I don't even know what kitchens cost. Do you see that? Just make fun of me. I deserve ridicule for that. But you know, a $5,000 kitchen. Awesome. I think I had one of those in one of my first apartments.
I think $5,000 would be pretty cheap for a kitchen.
My first kitchen definitely was a $5,000 kitchen. It was a piece of shit. But, you know, carrying on, you know, these complete limousine liberals and all of that will, I do have a very nice kitchen, Jason, reading the chat. I didn't build it. I let somebody else do all of that. And that somebody else is sleeping upstairs and she's a mama with a gun. But but the whole, you know, just, but the whole, this whole culture of grass eaters, and they'll survive just fine. You can have people that say, I am a pacifist, and be perfectly okay with that. You know, sort of, you know, sort of situation. But if someone's coming to be violent to someone who's a pacifist, even if they're not a true pacifist, but in fact a coward who will actually believe in saving their own skin, they're not going to be able to. Sort of situation. But again, a lot of women's desire to own guns and defensively shoot, and suddenly an idea of, oh, I can line up the sights in front of somebody and pull the trigger, because not because they're going to kill me, but because they're probably going to kill or harm my kids, is a big thing. So yeah, tying that all together, it took a long way to get there, but tying that all together is moms are absolutely positively a good thing to market to, because for men in the culture, you know, it's really once you start getting your first good paying job is when suddenly men start looking into getting a gun, you know. But,
or when you buy a house, or when you have a family, or et cetera, et cetera, something that is your own.
Yeah.
You want to protect it. And I, before the show is over, and I know we're 3 minutes.
We can go as long as you want.
Okay. And one of the subjects for our show was that movie that is that streaming on Netflix right now.
You want to say next week?
We can talk about it again next week. It's called A Girl and a Gun. And I have actually been waiting for years for this movie to come out. Years. Because I remember talking about it when I was blogging, like years ago. And I was excited to see it. We can talk about it in detail next week if you want. And I think it would be good if we want
to. Or we can just do it now.
No, I'm tired.
Oh, okay.
Let's throw a teaser in. What did you think of the movie?
Well, first of all, I was disappointed in the movie. But I was disappointed in the movie in the same way I'm looking back at my own blog 5 years ago. I'm disappointed in myself. Because it was like this kind of hopeful naivete about women and guns. It was like this. There was this newness about the whole thing. Oh my gosh, women and guns. Look at this amazing thing that women are doing now. You know what I mean? And it was like this. I don't know. But then, you know, in retrospect, I'm kind of looking at it now from the outside because I don't blog anymore. And the movie is years old now. I look at it now and I think, what was the big deal? You know, sure, women and guns, but here's the thing. Women in the United States, God bless this country, women in the United States have had guns since the inception of this country. We have had guns and we have been able to use them as tools for hundreds of years. And it was just a thing. It was just like, hey, let's, you know, here's the gun. Let me protect my family, or my family is hungry. Let me go shoot a rabbit for dinner. Or it was just a thing.
Yep.
And it was that way for hundreds of years. But here's the irony. Women stopped using guns as a matter of fact sort of thing. You know, women used guns up until the 50s, 60s. You saw girls, you've seen pictures of girls in like high school rifle classes. Up until the 60s. And you know what happened? Feminism. And that is the sick irony of it. Feminism hit late 60s, early 70s, and it carried it into now, where there was like this kind of shift where, oh no, women and guns? That's just, no. It was like this totally abhorrent idea. Because that's not a womanly thing. And so feminism seemed to have taken away the thing that could have empowered women the most. and had been empowering women for hundreds of years in this country.
Or so, not even necessarily. I mean, it's empowering them in the physical sense, but not necessarily in the emotional sense either. I mean, it's a beautiful point. Yeah. I never actually thought about it exactly that way, but it's one of those things of the, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt, Carrie to Smith and Wesson,
yes,
you know, sort of situation. You know, Theodore felt more comfortable with an FN Browning design, I don't know if it was necessarily an empowering thing. It was she was the first lady of the United States, and there were people that didn't like them. It was a shitty political time as far as anarchists and things like that went. And so, yeah, she carried a gun.
Maybe it wasn't an empowering thing, but it was certainly a leveling thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
don't mess with so-and-so because she has a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know,
it's kind of weird. It's actually kind of a modern thing. What popped into my mind is I was just thinking about, all right, what can I make for an analogy to this today? And the first thing that popped into my head was cars, and cars. But what immediately popped in my head also with cars is women driving these huge SUVs, and it's exactly the same way. I mean, it's not that, you know, oh no, you know, women have been driving four-wheel drive vehicles, you know, forever because, oh, I live out in the country and the roads get shitty, or I have to cross through some back roads and sometimes they get swampy and it's, you know, I four-wheel drive's going to save me. I mean, my mother-in-law drove an F-150 pickup truck for a number of years because she lived in fucking Vermont. they don't pave their roads there. You know, sort of situation. And it was not an empowered thing. It was I drove an F-150 pickup truck because that, you know, because if I drove a Toyota Camry, you know, it would have just gotten stuck. And, you know, that's stupid. But now we've got these women of the, oh, I drive a powerful SUV. I am woman, hear me roar. And it's a hollow roar. It's stupid because it's, you know, on top of that, I have to drive behind them and they suck at driving them.
I see. I don't know about the rest of the country, but down here in Texas, I see more women driving Jeeps than men.
Oh, actually.
The Wranglers.
I like my
V8. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a ton of women driving Jeeps around here, and it's more of the same thing. It's Barbie's Jeep. Sort of idea. There's a bunch of women who drive Jeeps, and I'm sure they'll flip them over all the time because they don't know how to drive them.
I blame Lauren Graham.
But yeah, I mean, it's...
whoosh! It went right over everyone's head.
Yeah, no, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it. I did the $500 kitchen thing. I'm not doing it again.
Alan, is this a Gilmore Girls?
Yes.
Alan, is this a Gilmore Girls reference?
Yes, yes, it is.
Bless your heart. The only American man to ever watch Gilmore Girls.
Hey, Lauren Graham was hot.
Okay. I think you're thinking of that movie.
Yeah, the Santa. The Bad Santa. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Great movie.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just... it's... Yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll get back to that time. When it'll get back to that time when it's just not a big deal. Is the, oh, why do you carry a gun? Well, it makes me feel powerful. No, it's the, because I got two kids and, you know, I gotta hold one of them by the hand if someone's, you know, and they can't run, you know. So if, you know, if someone attacks me, I'm gonna need to fight, and I'm a 115-pound woman. It's not gonna add up. So I have to carry a gun. It's no big deal. What brand of gun do you carry? What, do you fucking care? Who cares what kind of gun? I don't even know what kind of gun I carry. You know, that's what we need to get into. You know, instead of the, oh, no, I carry, you know, such and such a gun because it was carried by such and such a person and that makes me powerful and tough and branding and hollow roar.
Yep.
Hashtag hollow roar.
Well, we'll talk more about that next time.
All right, okay. We got one more announcement.
Oh.
That's right.
Okay.
our book club book of the this month. You want to do it weird?
Yeah. Do we have the author up there? Because I also
weird, really, unprepared.
It's your book. It is my book, and I like the book, and it's good. The book is Dark Tide. Let me look it up. I'm gonna type. You can hear me typing. There, I'm typing loud.
The Great Boston Molasses Flood of 1919.
Yes.
By Stephen Pulio.
Okay. Yeah, you beat me to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gonna be our book club book. It came recommended to me by my wife. And actually, it's interesting. Every time when my wife was reading it, she would mention that she was reading it, and other people had read it, and they all were like, "Oh my God, it's such a good book!" And I agree, it's a really good book. I'm not done it yet, but I don't know if either of you guys have started it yet.
I haven't even got it yet.
but there's a ton of shit to talk about on that one, on so many levels. And for Brita's sake, it is not sci-fi or gunniness.
Thank you. I love nonfiction.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good nonfiction book, and it's a good break from all of the fiction book that we've been reading.
I actually got this book from my library. So, I didn't have to buy it. I just requested it. So it should be in next week, and I will start reading it.
Yeah, and y'all need to look on, since you guys are Facebook type people, you need to look to see if he's got a Facebook page.
You know, I wanted to bring this up, as long as we're over time now. I wanted to bring this up. Alan, you were saying that,
What did I do now?
You were telling me about this podcast you listened to, and that they had all sorts of people calling in, like Texas Rifle Association people and the open carry people.
Oh, yeah.
And these like kind of big wig people calling into the show. Remember?
Yes.
And I asked you and I said, well, how many people listen to this podcast? And what did you say?
I don't know.
You said, no, not many.
Well, it's, yeah, it's.
Right? Mm-hmm. Less than us, probably.
I would assume.
Whatever. But I think that we should probably send an email to Stephen Pulio.
That's what I think. And do it more than a week before the show. And I will say right now for me and for all of the squirrels listening that we will, and not at this point, state an end date for when we are going to do the show on Dark Tide, because I would like everyone to have finished reading the book before we talk about it.
Yeah. Okay.
We're kind of running late because I don't know why. Because we're lazy.
We're lazy. We don't get paid for this. Well, we don't get paid.
We like to do it for about a month, and so this is the eighth. We didn't.
We'll do it in June.
We'll do it like. Oh, I know when we'll do it. We'll do it on Brita's birthday.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we're doing the squirrel report on my 40th birthday.
Oh, maybe we'll do it the day. Maybe we'll do it the one after that.
Well, whatever.
The 12th of June.
Will there be cake?
Yes.
Damn right.
But not for you.
No, actually, what there will be is pumpkin pie.
I keep hoping. Every year, I want a pumpkin pie for my birthday. And
you don't get one?
No.
Are you fucking shitting me? Every year that I have asked for it, my wife has made me a red velvet cake without the cream cheese icing, but with chocolate icing and without the red dye.
I have never had.
And every year I get a red velvet cake that I asked for. I didn't ask for it last year because I'm like, I don't give a shit. Let's not bother. we have a baby. I'm tired. We don't need to do anything for my birthday.
Nope. No pumpkin pie in June.
So Mike does not love you. I mean, that's the bottom line, is Mike doesn't love you. Because
Mike doesn't make people. Mike does not make
people. He doesn't make a pumpkin pie. He can walk to the fucking grocery store.
Well, that's true.
And that's being a cheap bastard. He can walk to a fucking bakery and get you a ridiculous pumpkin pie.
And pumpkin pie is like the, easiest pie to make, really.
Get a pumpkin pie everywhere. You cannot get a red velvet cake without the cream cheese icing and without the red dye.
That is pretty specific. Yes.
Yeah, it's a fucking good cake, let me tell you. If you guys want to live a little, make yourself a red velvet cake. Do not put in the red dye. It doesn't fucking matter about the red dye. I omit the red dye because I don't give a shit. And then I like the fact that I don't give a shit. So it's important now that it doesn't have the red dye because it states how much I don't give a shit. But I give a shit about giving a shit. So that's kind of meta give a shit.
That just makes you a hipster.
And yeah, it does. That is, I will actually cop to that. That is pretty hipster. But the
and you got the beard to go with it.
Oh, fuck off. But the
now all you need is a PBR in your hand and you're set.
I love PBR. After doing all the gardening I did today, I was like going, son of a bitch, I won't have any PBR in my fridge. So, yeah,
pie in June.
There you go.
Maybe for my 40th. I think my mom is on the show. She's listening.
Is she?
She's in the chat right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ellen, just swing by your local bakery.
Yep.
My mom makes really good pumpkin pie.
Oh, even better. Yeah, if she can make a pumpkin pie, that's even better than going to the bakery.
Yep.
But it's one of those, if you don't have time, go to the bakery. You got Amish there. Amish make pumpkin pie.
Yeah, they do.
Brita needs a pumpkin pie for her birthday.
And they make goddamn good pumpkin pie because they don't have fucking electricity. What else are they going to do for fun?
And that's our show for tonight.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Amish Rule 34.
Yeah, let's not.
I love you, Internet.
We love you, too.
Well, we'll be back next week. Hope you will be, too. And hope, I know apparently everybody's phone broke tonight, so.
Just didn't shut the fuck up.
That's all right. They can still call.
Weird was chatty.
He was chatty.
That's all right.
I got shit to say. We didn't even really cover the
No,
the,
we didn't. It's like
we'll talk about the movies next week.
It wasn't long enough. But there's a lot of shit to talk about on that movie. Well, this will give people time to watch it. We'll put a link to it somewhere.
Yeah.
People can watch it. It's streaming on Netflix. And
it's streaming on Netflix. It's short. It's 9 minutes.
It's not that long. It's a documentary. It's not bad. It's just you'll know what we're talking about when we're talking about it.
So. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. It is worth your time to watch it.
Yep.
You will not be like son of a bitch. You will not be like Vector, who is in the future driving home from work when he said to his future wife, note that future wife, hey, let's rent a movie. What movie should we rent? He got them to rent Meet the Feebles, and she still married the bastard.
Meet the what?
Meet the Feebles.
I never
Peter Jackson.
That. No,
it has Muppet sex.
Oh. No.
Lots of Muppet sex and a Muppet diet of AIDS.
Everybody knows Muppets can't have sex.
In Meet the Feebles they can because they're anatomically correct Muppets.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, it's how somebody said, hey, let's give this New Zealand director who made Meet the Feebles and a bunch of like horror slasher films, the most expensive to date movie project of all times, that has had multiple attempts at it that have been abject failures. I want to know if that person is crazy, stupid, or that fucking brilliant.
Well, in my personal opinion, the Peter Jackson version was an abject failure too. So,
I liked it. What? Did you want Tom Bombadil, you hipster?
I think it was Tom Bombadil
fanboy.
I think it was too edited and too. Look, okay, here's the thing, and I'm gonna
beautiful.
Y'all can stop watching because the show's over. This is the outtakes. Yeah, this is the outtakes part. The problem is the Lord of the Rings is so long and so convoluted that it is impossible to make a good movie about it. Impossible. And the fact that people even try is just rank hubris. It is impossible to make a movie that works for that book.
Rank hubris, are the operative words there.
Except for Peter Jackson, who made a fucking fantastic
I thought it was good.
I thought he made a movie called The Lord of the Rings and a sequel called something else, and a third one called something else. But it was not the Lord of the Rings that was in the book.
Well, no, because Gollum's skin was supposed to be black. That's the one. That's the one issue I have.
Racist.
Well, he is. He wanted a Chinese. He got upset because he didn't have an Asian doctor. He is a racist.
Yes.
Don't worry, her new doctor's Haitian.
Yeah, see, there you go.
And he's awesome. He's a really good doctor.
Is he Chinese Asian or Japanese?
He is from the Indian subcontinent.
Oh, Indian. Okay.
I am very open arms about what denomination of Asian you are. Oh, and the guy that did her surgery was also Asian, but he was from Iraq.
That's not Asian.
That's not Asia. That's Persia. No, Iran
Middle
is Persia.
Eastern.
Yeah, Iraq is.
It's else. Asia, but what continent is Iraq in? Come on, what continent is it in?
Europe? No.
No, it's
Africa.
Not Europe. It's not Africa.
Middle East? Is it?
I will give you a hint. It is Asia.
No.
Well,
it's like
so long as it is south and or east of Istanbul, it is Asia.
Oh, whatever.
Is true. Not Constantinople. Istanbul.
Right now, it used to be Constantinople.
Yes.
It's no one's business but the Turks, motherfuckers.
It should just make the whole Middle Eastern continent separate.
Oh, now who's the racist here?
Build a damn wall.
Who's the racist here? This is the best show.
I know. Let's hang up.
The history of radio.
I'm going to turn off
the
podcast.
Why didn't we have more listeners?
Say,
so fucking awesome.
Say goodbye, Ray. Say bye, Ray.
Goodbye, Ray.
Good night, everybody. Bye. Good night, you.